for me, what's coming up is like, you know, this week with, you know, the Mars in Libra South Node conjunction, that's been happening all week. I mean, it's kind of like, it can be a bit of a heavy energy. Like, I've heard a lot of big shifts coming up in the past couple weeks, right? And this Mars in Libra conjunct the South Node stuff, there's been some heavy stuff going on. For me, it's been like this realization, like, whoa, like, I'm more powerful than I thought. Like, this manifestation, right, of this place, like, I cannot believe it. Like, I can't, like, I still am like, am I in a dream? Do I deserve this? How did I get this lucky? Like, literally, it is kind of lucky that I got into this place, right? For what I'm paying, how quickly I was able to find a roommate, like, all of this stuff. Like, I'm like, whoa, like you said, Ellis, I see in your comment, life is very fast right now. Yes, it is. And, you know, I've been having these moments, like, in between these really big manifestations, I've been like, oh my god, like, there's been some really low moments within the big good stuff, right, in the past, like, couple weeks. And some of these low moments have been, you know, maybe the underlying tone of these low moments have been like, am I really deserving of this? Or also, when is it all going to get taken away? Or when is the ball going to drop? Because, like, such a good thing has happened, you know, now where's the rebalancing event that's going to be, like, the horrible thing that happens? And, you know, that's those thoughts that have been going on. You know, I think it's very common when we come from the trauma mind. Like, I've just realized specifically the past week with this Mars South Node conjunction, like, I think the trauma mind does really truly look for things going wrong, right? And that's why I think the trauma mind is so good at staying in suffering. Because, like, you know, we can all think back to a moment in time where, we were sort of enduring a situation of suffering, whether that be we're in a living situation that doesn't suit us, or we're in a relationship that isn't aligned, or we're in a job that mirrors some sort of, like, abusive power dynamic that our parents, you know, implemented onto us, or I don't know. The trauma mind is so good at enduring suffering that I think when we finally break that cycle and we do allow ourselves, or we do receive something really big and good and, like, something that kind of breaks us out of that suffering, the trauma mind doesn't know what to do. Like, they're like, what's gonna happen next? Like, you know, like, where's the suffering? And then the trauma mind starts to look for the suffering or look for the ball to drop, because this is ultimately the fear, like things being aligned and things being at peace. And if this makes sense to anybody, let me know. But this is what I've been thinking about lately. And, you know, that the couch day, you're so right, Lauren, the it's giving Ross yelling pivot. Yeah, let's... It was like that scene in Friends, getting the couch into the house, only like 10 times worse. Like, combine that scene from Friends, Ross yelling pivot, with like The Shining, and that's... That was the scene. But like that day, like legitimately, Rafi and I were like, we need to go. We need to go to therapy. It was like so stressful. And I was thinking, like, that night, I was still pretty just kind of dysregulated. I was dysregulated more than I have been in a long time. And, like, I just had to, like, write down on a piece of paper. Like, I was like, everything's okay. Like, it's gonna be okay. Like... like, you know, you're deserving of this. Like, it's great. This house is gonna be great. Like, I just couldn't shake the feeling that, like, these, like, things were about to go bad, because of how great the manifestation I'm receiving at this moment is. Yeah, it was hard for me to shake that, like, trauma mind story that's like, oh my god, what's gonna go wrong? So it was kind of interesting to experience that, and it also was actually kind of a gift not to be, you know, all fluffy la la spiritual fairy, but it was kind of a gift to see how my mind started to react to receiving such an abundant thing, because it also brought light to other areas of my life where I was like, oh my god, like, what if I'm really scared to receive in other places in my life too? And like, I know there's an element of fear of receptivity with business stuff, sure. So I was thinking about that. And then I was thinking, oh, is there an element of fear of receptivity with love life? And yeah, for sure. For sure. And I was like, oh my god, like, this house, like, the minute I walk into it, it's showing me, like, how powerful of, like, a witch I am, and at the same time, like, how scared of my powers that, like, I can be, right? And I think sometimes eclipse season shows us things like that. Within these large-scale changes that sometimes get rattled during eclipse season, whether they be literal outside changes or internal changes, I think a lot of the times we're shown, like, wow, I could have more, or I'm deserving of more, or I don't want to stay in this suffering anymore, even though this suffering is so comfortable. And when you're, guys, it's funny, when you're in the suffering, it's almost like a weird salve to these thoughts of like, oh my god, what the bad thing that's gonna happen next, the ball that's gonna drop next. That's the one thing you don't have to worry about when you're in suffering, because you're already suffering. So it sounds sick, but I think this is part of the reason why sometimes we are comfortable in our suffering, right? We're like, well, it already sucks, you know, like, Like, yeah, I don't know. And Lauren, you said when we've been through trauma, our brains can become hardwired to anticipate more trauma, and that's for our survival. But it can be hard to come down from that, so this totally tracks. Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And it's so funny too, like this house has just been such a good like mirror so far, because last week too, I had my mother, God bless her, come over, and she, you know, she's Italian, so she's like coming over to quote unquote help me clean, which again, I would have never suggested that because that, because I actually need to go back to therapy every time. Every time she comes over to help me clean. She was like, it was just it was a disaster on many levels last weekend. But she was pointing out the things in the house that like be careful of this door, you need to make sure this is locked and like blah blah blah, and like you're like just like kind of pointing out as mothers do, I'm sure, but like this is the voice of like a Italian mother who has had no treatment for their trauma, PTSD, anxiety, OCD, you know, so she's going around like don't lick the walls, you know, so that also kind of dysregulated me a bit, but it also drew my mind to like, oh, like when I'm hearing this like something's going to go wrong voice in my head, like I can kind of place it outside of me. Maybe I don't always have to think this is me. This is also the voice of my conditioning, the voice of my mother, you know, God bless her again, like it's coming from a place of you know, wanting to keep me safe, I guess. But you get what I'm saying here. Like sometimes people on the outside may mirror our sort of narratives of suffering on the inside, and that's something that can be mirrored to us during eclipse season. And Ellis, you said, okay, yes, this fear of abundance, like I wouldn't even know what to do with something good right now. Totally. Yep. Yes, I oh, I agree. I could say more on this topic. Yeah, I could definitely say more on this topic. On top of the on top of like this receiving this really big abundant thing, I went on like a date a couple weeks ago that was really good, and I'm seeing this person again tonight, and like I don't want to put too much pressure on like this person individually, but I will say she mirrored something to me that was like so important that s goes along with this narrative. Yeah, I was telling my friend about this. So a couple weeks ago, our first date, we were both kind of busy. She has a busy job, and I work basically two or three jobs right now because I do my business. Then I work at the acupuncture clinic, and I basically have like a volunteer role through the Organization of Professional Astrology. Like, I'm kind of now have been voted into being the director of their international astrologers and the international events. So that's like a whole job in itself, only I don't really get paid for it. Hee hee. But I do get paid for it in the sense that OPA is super generous with like letting me have, you know, scholarships for like free membership and taking the classes and getting certified and things like that. So it's really, I mean, I like the job. I wouldn't have said yes to something that's not aligned. But this being said, this isn't a competition. I'm telling this to my Hermione Granger brain. This isn't a competition about how stressed we are. You need to calm down. But anyways, whatever. That's all to be said. We're both busy, me and this girl. So I'm like, okay, like Thursday night's the only night that we can really meet up. And Thursday night was my tarot class. So I was like, what the hell? So I was like, why don't we get a drink or like get drinks and apps before tarot class and you can come with me to tarot class? She was like, I was shocked how into this idea she was. Like, she was like, oh my God, that sounds so fun. I can't wait. She was like, I've been looking forward to this all week. And I was like, okay. Like, for me, it was so unusual, guys, because it sounds bad, but like, I really haven't dated many people who are take interest in my astrology and tarot stuff. I've dated people who you know, think it's all fake. Riddle me that, my friends, but I really haven't, and I hadn't thought about this. I was like, oh man, like I really haven't dated someone who actually wants to be somehow involved in this like very special part of my life or wants to understand it or whatever. So anyways, she comes to the tarot class. She has a great time. Okay. It was good. But again, like not putting so much pressure on this person herself, but just in general, what was the lesson that got mirrored to me in that night, in that first date? Similar to the message that's being mirrored to me through this new house, it's like, you could receive way more. Like, this girl kind of made me realize, like, oh, like, this is someone who has an interest in, like, my passion is something that I could receive, right? Or, like, I don't have to keep receiving these, like, bozos who think, who've read one article about astrology on TikTok or like Elite Daily and have decided it's fake and then like make fun of me. You know, like I don't have to keep dating these people who like don't care to understand how much like I've studied my craft and like whatever, you know. So I'm like, oh wow, this is another reflection from the universe that like I could be receiving more right now. Riddle me that. And during eclipse season, during this Mars and Libra South Node conjunction, it can really rev up some maybe relational dynamics, not only our relationships with others, relationships with our parents, relationships with our friends, but also our relationship with the universe. And I think that's why this week we're working with both the Tower and the Ace of Cups. It's funny, the Tower comes out as like our essence or the theme of this week, and the Ace of Cups comes out as what to embrace. Does it not make perfect sense with my semi-embarrassing anecdotes this morning? Like, does this not make sense that, you know, this eclipse season, this month, is really having us consider our fear of abundance? It is really having us consider our relationship to the universe. And I think that's what's sort of cracking with the Tower, because when the Tower comes out, really, truly, I'm not just playing with you guys. Like, it really doesn't have to be a dun-dun-dun. Something bad's gonna happen. When's the ball gonna drop? All of these ego stories that I was speaking to before, it's not that. You know, I think there's a really deep psychological foundation that's up for renewal this week, leading up to the eclipse. It's up for renewal. And that deep psychological foundation is about our relationship to the universe. And I think what we believe we can receive, right? And with the Ace of Cups, you know, this is the hand of God. The hand of God is like offering us something. The hand of God is putting something in front of us. Whether that be, again, a reflection through a person, a place, a thing, your new dream apartment, you know, whatever it is, the new job, the book being published, the relationship deepening, you know, they think the universe is sort of handing us this reflection of like, wow, like things could be deepening. It's not to say that eclipse season doesn't rev up difficult changes. That's been the theme of pretty much every single reading I've done this past month. You know, like how to navigate change, how to say, like, I'm going to leave this old shitty situation and go towards something that is just way better for me. Like, eclipse season very much sometimes puts that in our way. The other thing I'll mention, too, this has been coming up in readings, too, and I say this to myself. Sometimes what we want is, in most of the time, what we want is entirely possible and within our grasp. And again, it's the comfortability with suffering and the buying into our narratives of the trauma mind saying, gotta stay in suffering. This is sort of the comfort. A lot of the times what we want is very much within our grasp. For me, this relates to about a year ago. I was really struggling living with my parents. It was super scary to make the launch, to move to the city. Once I moved to the city, I thought, oh, you mean I could do this? You mean I was capable this whole time? You mean this was easier than I thought? You mean this wasn't as scary as I thought? You mean I was entirely capable of receiving this whole time? Huh. You know. So think about that this week as we sort of vibe with the changes ahead, okay? Like, is it possible that the changes that you are making, the things that you are grasping for, are actually entirely within your reach, right? What if it's easier than you expected? What if the change feels better than you expected? That's how it feels to me. And once we make the change, it's almost as if it's like we can't see clearly until we make the change. And once we make the change, we're in a safer place where we're able to have these sort of realizations. I hope that makes sense to everybody, but I'm also looking at in my week ahead spread, I had the Eight of Swords as the challenge, the lesson, the unconscious energies, and then the outcome and the gift as the Ten of Pentacles. Like, if we just look at this, like, picture-wise, art-wise, Eight of swords. I'm in a place of, you know, challenge, or I'm keeping myself in the place where, like, I know I could be deserving of more, I know I could grasp more, but it feels more comfortable to be in this suffering, or my trauma mind feels best in this place. And then the outcome being the Ten of Pentacles, like, sometimes we can't completely see that we're doing the Eight of Swords thing until we allow ourselves to get in the Ten of Pentacles, and then we look back at it and we're like, oh shit, man, what was I doing? Everybody can relate, I think, in some way. Like, you don't realize how bad the past relationship was until you leave it. You don't realize, like, how much suffering or how stressed you were in the past living situation until you leave it. You don't realize how little you were actually using your gifts and your talents in the last job until you're in a job that actually utilizes those things, right? There's some big realizations like that coming through this week, okay? That's my tea, my friends. That's my astrological forecast, tarot forecast for the week ahead. I would love to pull some cards for all of you. If you are in need of any guidance or advice, or just needing a little hello from the universe, also, so comment your questions down below. And then also, me and Sarah's creativity semester begins on Saturday, the 14th, which is the day of the eclipse. So, we still have some spots left in the class. If you're at all interested, we would love to have you. And yeah, check it out on my website, DM me questions. Let me know. This class isn't just for writers, it's for creatives of all kinds. And if you think, oh, I've always wanted to be a creative, but I have never known how to, this class is perfect for you. If you're a writer who's had 20 years of writer's block, this class is perfect for you. If you're an artist who's scared to show their work next month at the art show gallery, this class is perfect for you. You know, like, it's really this awesome container where many different creatives are going to be meeting and examining a lot of things that have to do with creativity today. And Katie, you said, thanks so much, Mal. Wow, love this sermon today. Aw, thanks, Katie. Let me pull Pam's card first. So, Pam, you said I would love a card for the week ahead. Pam, Seven of Swords. So, this makes me think, like, this is actually coming through as, like, it's a busy week where you're a little bit jammed on time. And because you're jammed on time, you might be tempted to, like, cut corners with, you know, holding space for yourself, or really, like, doing the things that ground you. And when we lose the grounding practices that we have during a busy time, that's sort of when I think our nervous system tends to go haywire, right? Like, in my own life, it's not a coincidence that I've been so overwhelmed with the move in the past week or so. It's also been, like, one of the harder nervous system weeks of the year for me. And, you know, it's because I've been too busy to, like, go grocery shopping and, like, do my shit and even, like, pull a tarot card in the morning and, you know, all of this stuff. So, yeah, like, I would say, even in a time crunch, how can you still make time for your self-care this week? And Katie, you said, I would love a card for the week and keeping the faith. Queen of Wands, it's you, Katie, the Leo queen. I think this week is about for you, like, how does the Queen of Wands go through the week? The Queen of Wands sort of moves through the week or moves through the days thinking, I'm empowered, I'm in my witchy magic, I am able to do magic, I'm able to make magic happen, my manifestation powers are like, my manifestation powers are great and overflowing. Like, I think there's a confidence, there's like a sort of a self-concept that the Queen of Wands has that's like really, it's really great, it's really strong. The Queen of Wands is really strong in her self-concept. So keep that in mind this week. Haters gonna hate. Haters are your motivators. Corey, you said thanks for the tour. I love a card for the week ahead. Yeah, let's see. Okay, Corey, Five of Pentacles. Yeah, it's funny. I pulled this card too this week for myself. And this reminds me exact. It's almost like the universe is kind of doubling down on some of the themes that I spoke about, you know, earlier in the sermon. Like, you know, how much. Like, guys, I know the economy's fucked and I know our government is breaking down and like. You know, like I know there's like literal systematic issues at hand. So like I know it's tough out there. And at the same time, Corey, like where are is there are could there be any limiting beliefs about your deservingness at play here? Is there a fear story at play here? Is there a comfortability with suffering at play here? And can this eclipse season help you break out of those things? Jess, you said, I'm having a really shitty time lately. Card and prayer, please. Oh, I'm sending you good vibes, Jess. And, you know, I know, I'm sure this has more to do with just the weather. Obviously, but I will say, like, very normal for the weather to be changing and for highly sensitive people to have a rough adjustment with that because we all say, like, we're witches, we love the fall. For me, fall is like, be careful. Take your meds, 'cause the even just the cold drop of temperature, it does something to me. You know, it does something to my psyche. I think yes, the changing of the seasons affects us on a deeper psychological level than you may think. Okay. So then, Ten of Wands, Jess. This makes me think. You know, are your expectations of yourself working against you right now? Because if you're expecting yourself to do this, that, and the other thing, and to get an A plus on every single thing that you're working on, you know, that might not be what this time is about. And I think maybe lessening your expectations of yourself doesn't mean that you're letting yourself off the hook or you're slacking or not doing enough. I think maybe it could mean that you're focusing more on your healing, or maybe there's some grief that you're managing, or whatever it is, Jess. So I would say, lessening your expectations of yourself could actually be a good thing in this particular season of what you're going through. And I think don't expect this, like, again, this A plus in every single area of your life. Like, let a B plus be okay. Okay? That's how I feel. Ellis, you said, could I have a card about my relationships or my patterns within them? Totally. Hee hee. Ace of Pentacles and Two of Cups. That's funny. Let me tune into this a little bit. It's coming through, Alice, as maybe a pattern of like maybe being the caretaker in your relationships or in the past relationships, maybe asking yourself, did I feel like I needed to care for this person? Was it actually natural for me to like, you know, always be worried about this person or like helping them achieve the things that they needed to achieve or helping them get help or like being their therapist, being their mother, like how am I actually used to caring for people that I'm with? And when I do meet an equal, you know, when we do meet our equal, I think sometimes it's kind of like they look at us and they're like, what? Like, no, I got it. Thanks. I'm going to therapy. It's fine. You know, like when we meet our equal, they don't need us to like babysit them. And they may even be offering us something. And we're like, wait, you're offering me something? What? So feels to me, Ellis, like there's something here about like, how to show up in a relationship with your equal where that equal doesn't require of you the same thing, same like momming caretaker stuff that you maybe were doing in the past for old relationships, you know? And how is that actually kind of triggering in a weird way? Because when we like mom and we caretake in our past relationships, it's usually coming from a childhood wound where we had to maybe caretake our parents, right? So it's very comfortable for us to step into that space. And then when an aligned partner isn't requiring us to be that mom or caretaker, like sometimes we're like, what? It's just something kind of that we're getting used to, right? Blue Moon Cocoon would love a card for Eclipse Season. Wheel of Fortune. Did I pull this for you last time? I feel like I pulled someone this last week. Wheel of Fortune feels to me like right now, it's like right now the universe is taking care of things. The universe, you need to, it's almost like allowing the universe to be a partner in your life, in your manifestations. You don't need to control or micromanage everything because in this moment, the universe is taking care of their job, they're playing their part. And whenever we're calling in something, it's one of our hands of our free will. And then the other hand is the universe and sort of fate and magic and energy, right? So as long as we're doing our free will part, at some point we do have to allow the other half to work its magic too, which is how the universe works in ways that maybe our human minds can't completely comprehend until we are on the other side and we kind of can view, you know, the universal magic in a non-human way, right? But that's what I'm thinking, Blue Moon Cocoon. Nan, you said card for the week, please. Can't wait for class. I know, I'm so excited. Nan, Two of Swords. Feels to me like this week, there's like, maybe an important boundary that is being made, not necessarily with like a person per se, but maybe there's a boundary that you're making with yourself. The Two of Swords, sorry, I think I said wands, but the Two of Swords person has a blindfold on and their arms are crossed. And it's not necessarily because they're blocking out the world, but they're trying to get in touch with themselves on a deeper level. So I think this week might be offering you some opportunities to meditate, to take a long walk in the forest, you know, to really contact that inner self and just say hi to that inner self. And there's so many distractions you may have as like a mother, a wife, a student, a community member, and it's important to allow yourself time to reconnect with yourself this week. Sam, you said, girl, you are preaching today. Would love a card for the week ahead. Your house is such a dream. Makes me think of Anne Shirley Blythe's House of Dreams. Aw, that's so sweet. Yeah, let's do Sam. Also, Sam, I'm super excited you're joining the class too. It's going to be great. Knight of Swords. Love it. You're not holding back this week, Sam. You're saying what needs to be said. You're delivering the messages that need to be delivered. I think the sort of Achilles heel with the Knight of Swords is being mindful of how the message is delivered. But at the same time, I think sometimes our people-pleasing or our peacemaker tendencies can sometimes keep us from maybe saying what really needs to be said or really communicating what's on our mind. And I think there's a way to be honest about how you're feeling, whether that's with yourself or someone important. I think there's a way to be honest with how you're feeling and not make it an attack, but also not come from a people-pleasing place at the same time. So like a spectrum, there's a spectrum of delivery, message delivery. And I think one end of the spectrum is people pleaser, peacemaker, sugarcoating. And the other side of the spectrum is like meanness, aggressiveness, abrasiveness. And like, I think this week you're finding the middle ground. That's how I'm feeling. And you're welcome, Jess and Alice. You said that's definitely a huge pattern of mine popping up again. Oh, thanks, Alexandra. No worries. And Blue Moon Cocoon, you said I definitely need to be more open to the universe's magic and less gripping and controlling. Totally. I'm trying to Yalot 13. You would love a card? Yeah, let's pull this. This will be the last card of the day. Ace of Wands. Cool. Well, I'm feeling that, you know, this week, take any opportunity you can for newness. And when there's an opportunity for newness handed to you, make it happen. Because so often we are handed an opportunity for newness or change and we don't necessarily take it. Like our friend calls us up and says like, hey, want to go to this new restaurant? And we might say, I'm kind of tired. No. Or like, you know, another friend says, hey, want to try this new activity or want to go to this new place? And we get stuck in a rut and then we complain that like we're not meeting new people or we're feeling boring or we're feeling like we're in a rut. So I think this week is an opportunity to sort of get out of the rut, if that makes sense, and sort of grasp the new opportunity available and even create it. Like, if no friend is handing you the new opportunity, hand it to them and be like, hey, let's do this new thing together. That's how I'm feeling, my friends. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back next week, and yeah, thanks for celebrating the new place with me. Y'all are awesome. Lots of love to you, and have a great week of the eclipse.